Jesus' name. Amen. All right. The Apostle John was one of the disciples of Jesus, of course, who later wrote down stories about what had happened. And so we have the Gospel of John, like Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And in John chapter 6, John tells us about a sermon where Jesus lost the crowd. It was his worst sermon ever, if you're measuring it by popularity, because Jesus offended everybody in the crowd. And afterwards, they said, you know what, we like the free food, we like the miracles, but we hated your sermon, and so we're out of here. And everybody left Jesus except for the 12 disciples. Did you know that sometimes, maybe like once in a long while, it's okay to teach something where you're going to offend somebody? The reason I start that way this morning is that some of you might be offended by what I'm going to teach today. And the reason that you might be offended is because I want to teach you how to do something that you already think you know how to do. And I'm not trying to get you to do something. I'm trying to teach you how to be something. And the reason I want to do this is because we know statistically that most Americans are not this. And they really don't know how to be this. And so at the risk of offending some of you, I've decided to teach you to be something that you probably already think you are, but you're actually not. And I want to teach you to be generous, not to give. All of you know how to give. Everybody in America knows how to give. This is about a be versus a do. I'm not trying to get you to do anything. I want you to teach you how to be generous. And there is a huge benefit to learning this. Proverbs 22:9 says, generous people will be blessed. And then Proverbs 11:25 says a little different. A generous person will prosper. So the Bible shows there is this clear connection between generosity and blessing in our lives. There's certain blessing that comes into our lives when we become generous people. I'm calling it the generous blessing. Now, here's the thing. As soon as I say that most of us are not really generous, I know what you think, because I think the same way. As soon as somebody says you aren't something, you immediately think of that one time when you were. And as soon as somebody says that you don't do something, you immediately think of the time that you did. Guys, how many times has this happened to you? You know, if you're married and your wife says, well, you just don't help enough around the house. What do you immediately think about? You think about, well, you know, what about that time in 2014 when I emptied the dishwasher? You know, or the last year I even vacuumed the carpet. You know, and you immediately think of something you did that's an exception to the rule, right? In fact, you could walk up to the meanest person you know and say, do you realize everybody thinks you're mean? And they will immediately think of the one nice thing that they said 4 years ago, and they'll use that as the exception to prove that they're not really mean, right? And so when I push you a little bit and I say, well, I want to teach you how to be generous because I don't think anybody has ever taught you how to be generous. And if no one taught you how to be generous, then you might think that you're generous, but you're not. And immediately you're going to think, well, are you kidding me? You don't know how much I've given. And I, you know, this one time and that time I was generous. And so I'm offended that you would even think that I'm not generous. And that's why I set up, friend, that this might be my John 6 moment when everybody gets offended and walks out on me. But before you walk out, I want to clarify a couple things. When I talk about generosity, we're not talking about random acts of giving. Random acts of giving generally come as a result of somebody trying to persuade you to give something or inspire you to give something or you know, ask you or guilt you or whatever. Somebody sends you an email and says, you know, can you support my bicycle ride for cancer? Or you see the cute puppies on TV and they say, just text the, you know, this number and you'll give $10. Or you're walking into the Great American Ballpark and you see the homeless guy with a sign and you slip him $5. Or maybe the pastor gives a good sermon and so you feel inspired or guilted into writing a check. Those are all random acts of giving. In other words, they're not planned out in advance. They're not part of an intentional lifestyle. They're just reactions to a situation. Now, I am all for random acts of giving. You know, the more random acts of giving, the better. And most of us are good at random acts of giving. But what we're talking about today is not random acts of giving. We're talking about generosity and how to be generous. There is a huge difference. Because genuine generosity actually transcends inspiration and guilt. In fact, truly generous people are not moved nearly as much by the big inspirational pitch about a need somewhere in the world or somewhere in our community. Truly generous people are not moved by guilt or emotion. Truly generous people have moved beyond that. And when you become truly generous, not just random acts of giving, because we all do those, but when you actually become a generous person, you will give more, you will save more, and you will consume less. Generous people by nature give more, save more, and consume less. We'll talk about more why that is. But there's actually one more thing. There's a promise that Jesus makes. Jesus promises you will actually be happier because you have never met an unhappy, generous person. That's Jesus' promise. You'll actually be happy. And then I'll take it even one step further, okay? For those of you who are parents, maybe you've got a high school student living at home or a college student or a young 20-something living with you. Let me tell you, you ought to bring them next Sunday because we're going to be teaching some more about generosity. And you really want them to learn this, right? Because if they do, they will have more money to help take care of you when you're old, right? So this is a good thing. And you really want them to learn this. You see, you may have totally messed up your finances, and you might never learn to be generous, but you definitely want your kids to learn to be generous because they'll be better off and you'll be better off. Because generosity, not random acts of giving, but learning to be a generous person, affects every part of your life and every single part of your finances. Now, the reason this has to be taught, even though you think you're already generous, but you're not really, the reason why this has to be taught is because generosity is not natural. It is just not natural. If you have children, you know this. Or if you've ever been a child, you know this. We have to teach our kids to share. It's not natural. We have to teach them. Why? Because there's some things in life that just come naturally. There's other things that do not come naturally. Generosity does not come naturally. In fact, you're an adult, and you still sometimes resist sharing. At least once in a while. You know, and let's be honest, there's still something in us when it comes to giving away what's ours and giving away what we've worked hard to get. There's still resistance, right? And the reason is because generosity is not natural. Now, if you want to know what is natural when it comes to money, what is natural is crazy. Crazy is natural when it comes to money, especially in our country. Let me give you some examples of crazy. Most Americans spend more than they make. Now, I don't even know how you do that. You know, I don't quite understand it. But most Americans spend more money than they make. That is crazy. Not only that, but most Americans pay interest on things that decrease in value the moment they take possession of them. Most Americans pay interest on things that as soon as they take possession, the value of that item starts to go down. And because they're paying interest on it, the cost of the item continues to go up. Is that crazy? You know, it's so confusing. Let me show you a visual to explain it. If you have a timeline here, the moment of purchase is the moment when that item starts to decrease in value. There is one exception to this, and that's a house. A house will generally increase over time. Everything else that you buy tends to decrease in value over time. But the moment you pay for it and start paying interest on it, whether it's a credit card or finance charges or whatever, your cost is actually increasing over time because of the interest you pay while the value is decreasing. Now, that is crazy. But it's so normal in our society that we just think, you know, this is what you know, everybody does. But that is not normal. It's crazy. But here's something that's just as crazy. This is something we've talked about before, so you've been around here a while, then you already know about this. But we don't feel rich, but we are. And we do feel generous, but we aren't. Let me say it again. We don't feel rich, but we are. We do feel generous, but we aren't. Let me prove it to you. We don't really feel rich, yet if you look at census data, the median household income in Hamilton is $38,000 a year. In Fairfield, it's $54,000 a year. In Liberty Township, it's just over $100,000 a year. Now, anybody want to take a guess? If you took the average of the whole world, all the rich countries, poor countries in between, the average of everybody in the whole world, what would the average family income be for a year? The answer is $1,200. Okay? Hamilton is $38,000, average world, $1,200. That means the average person in Hamilton makes 31 times as much as the average person in the rest of the world. So it is safe to say that you are way, way, way above average, or another way to say that is you are rich. Now, you don't feel rich, but you are. Even if you're unemployed right now, with the benefits you get in the health and unemployment or whatever you get, you're probably still way above the world average. And you can actually have some fun this afternoon by going to a website called globalrichlist.com. I put the website on the back of your bulletin outline. And when you go to this website, you can put in your income and find out exactly where you are on the list of the whole world's people as far as poor or rich, okay? In fact, I went there a couple days ago. I put in the average for Hamilton, which is $38,000. At that income, you are in the top 0.65% of the whole world. That means if you randomly selected 150 people from all over the world, from the rich countries, poor, in between, you know, just randomly 150 people, and you put them in a room, and you're in that room and you make $38,000, then you are the richest person in the room. And those other 149 people are going to be looking at you and say, wow, look at the rich guy. And you're saying, well, I'm not rich. I don't feel rich. I only make $38,000. And the other 149 people are saying, are you kidding? You are rich. And so then you try to explain the financial pressure and your mortgage and the car payments, and you can barely scrape by on your $38,000. And they'd all look at you like you have two heads. And they would say, you know, you're complaining about the fact you make more than any of the rest of us and you just can't make it. You're crazy. You see, you don't feel rich, but you are. But the other part is that we feel like we're generous. And as we're about to discover, we really aren't. By the way, have I offended anybody yet? You know, I always go by the policy, it's better to be offensive than boring, in church at least. So what do I mean when I say generous? If we're not talking about random acts of giving, if generosity isn't the moment where you give away something belongs to me and give it to somebody else, then what do I mean by generosity? Well, I'm going to give you four myths about generosity and then a definition, and then we're going to talk about something that Jesus said. So let's start. Four myths about generosity. Number one, generosity is spontaneous. That's a myth. If somebody's raising money for something and I say, oh, yeah, yeah, here's some money, or a family down the street is having a tough time, so the neighborhood does a collection, I say, yeah, I'll kick in something toward that, or one of the neighborhood kids is doing a school fundraiser, or, you know, somebody talks about helping people in Africa, and I say, I can give something to that. Those are all examples of spontaneous giving or random giving, and that's good, but that's not what we're talking about. Because generous people are actually less spontaneous in their giving. Generous people are actually less emotional in their giving. And generous people are far more strategic in their giving. So it's not hit and miss. So generosity is not about the spontaneous giving that we do. That's not generosity. Second myth is that generosity is determined by cash flow. I can be generous today because I just got paid. But But, oh no, now it's the end of the month, so I can't be generous anymore. The myth is that somehow generosity or a person's ability to be a generous person is determined by cash flow. That is a myth. Generous people are consistently generous. So if you're one of those people who would say, well, you know, I give when I can afford it, but I don't give when I can't afford it, you know, the good part is that you're a giver. That's a good thing. But you have not learned how to be generous. The third myth about generosity is this. It's the amount that counts. You've heard this 1,000 times. Oh, did you see that? That's such a generous gift. He gave such a generous gift. She gave such a generous gift. The truth is, the only person that knows is if a gift is really generous or not is the person who gave it. Because the size of the gift does not determine the generosity. Adding zeros to the amount does not determine if it's generous. If I made a gift of $10,000, that might be very generous for me. If Bill Gates made a gift of $10,000, that would be miserly for him because by at least one estimate, he makes $33 million per day or about $10,000 per minute. Wow, I gave a whole minute of my income. Aren't I generous? No, I don't think so. Okay, but one of the ways that we fool ourselves into thinking that we're generous is by looking at the amount we give. Boy, that was a generous donation because it had 3 zeros at the end of it. No, when it comes to generosity, the amount doesn't count because giving is only one part of your financial picture. The only way to know whether or not a gift is generous is to know everything about a person's finances. And nobody knows everything about your finances except you and maybe your accountant. So here's the great news. Everybody can be generous regardless of your income. And everybody can give a generous donation if you understand what generosity really is. The last myth about generosity is that rich people are generous. You know, Ken, when I get rich, then I can afford to be generous. Then I'll be generous. That is a myth. Let me tell you the truth. Rich people are rich. Generous people are generous. And there is no natural correlation. In fact, let me speak a prophetic word over your life. This is a prediction for your future. If you are not generous now, then when you become rich, you will just be a rich person who is not generous. There will be no change. Just based on your income, you will not become more generous just by getting a big pay raise because there is no correlation between how much money you make and whether or not you're generous. Those are two completely different things. And I want all of us here to learn to be generous, but you do have to learn it. It has to be taught because it is not natural. Now, let me give you the definition of generosity. And I need to let you know up front, this is kind of a difficult definition, but there's a reason it's difficult. I want to make you think, and I want to make you change the way you think about generosity. So here's what I mean when I talk about learning to be generous. Generous is the premeditated, that means you got to have a plan, calculated, generous people already know how much they're going to give. It's not just spontaneous. Designated, because generous people have pre-decided where it's going to go. Emancipation, and that's maybe my favorite word in that definition. Generous people understand, in order not to be possessed by your possessions, you have to realize you're not the owner to begin with. And you got to emancipate your finances. Quit acting like you are the owner. And generous people understand that when they order their lives around generosity, they are setting free their personal financial assets. And so when I talk about generosity, we're talking about the premeditated, calculated, designated emancipation of personal financial assets. You see, I want us to understand that we're not simply talking about giving. You're all good givers, or at least most of you are. What we're talking about is what it means to live a generous life. Because here's the thing, when you free your money, emancipation, and begin to view your life through the lens of generosity, It frees you from your money. And you actually become free and you become happier. And it doesn't matter how much money you have. You've probably met some very wealthy people who are always stressed out about money. But you've met some middle-income people who just seem not to be stressed at all about it. And you've probably met some low-income people who are stressed about money, and you've met other low-income people who just are the most generous people you will ever meet. Generosity is not about income, but it is something you learn to do. Now let's look at Scripture. And this Scripture is probably the best-known Scripture in the entire Bible. And no, we're not talking about John 3:16. This Scripture is way better known than John 3:16. In fact, most non-believers in America would be able to quote you this Scripture, even though they might not even know it's from the Bible, or they might not know that Jesus said it. Let me give you some context for the Scripture first. The book of Acts tells us what happened after Jesus rose from the dead, and the second half of Acts is primarily about the Apostle Paul, who traveled all around the Mediterranean rim planting churches. And in Acts chapter 20, Paul is in a town called Miletus. It's about 60 miles south of Ephesus. And he's on his way to Jerusalem, and he knows when he gets to Jerusalem, he's going to be arrested. And so he knows that this is probably the last time he's ever going to see these people here from Miletus and Ephesus. And so he's saying goodbye to friends, and he's saying goodbye to supporters and church leaders, and they're begging him not to go. And while he's talking to them, he begins to remind them of all that he did for them, and he talks about his generous life. Now, he's not bragging. He's just saying, hey, I've been setting an example for you. I've lived a generous life, and when I'm gone, I want you guys to keep on living a generous life. And then he throws out this statement. He says, remember the words the Lord Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. It's more blessed to give than to receive. That is the Bible verse that almost everybody in America knows, even if they don't know that Jesus said it. Now, the problem is that most people have no idea what Jesus really meant when he said that. And usually you hear somebody say, well, you know, it's more blessed to give than receive. It's when somebody gave something spontaneously and you thank them for it and they say, oh, no, it's no problem. It's more blessed to give than to receive, right? And what they really mean is, oh, well, you know, it feels so good in that moment when I get to give this to you. It's more blessed to give than receive. Here's the problem with that. Jesus, the saying of Jesus, does not refer to a moment in time. This is a reference to a way of living. Again, it's not a reference to a moment in time. I gave that amount and now I feel so good. It's a reference to a way of living. In fact, let's be honest. You know, you've heard that saying many times in the past. Oh, it's more blessed to give than receive. But, you know, especially when you're growing up or around Christmas time, you didn't really agree with that, did you? You know, you felt way more blessed when you received stuff than when you gave it. And even today, maybe, you know, you give something and, oh, yeah, maybe it's blessed to receive, to give. But I know for sure it's blessed to receive, right? And the reason we think that is because when we hear these words, it's more blessed to give than receive, we think about a moment in time transaction. But that's not what Jesus had in mind. That's not what he was talking about. He was talking about the word blessed there is the same word that we find in the Beatitudes. I taught on Beatitudes last year. It was a series called What Makes You Happy? And this word blessed literally means happy. And we talked about how you sow and reap your way to happy. In other words, there's actions you take to get there. And so when Jesus talks about being blessed, he's talking about actions that will result in a blessed lifestyle or a happy lifestyle. Not just a momentary happy moment because I gave this and now I feel so good that I was able to give it. No. I develop a generous life and I become a generous person all the time and it results in a blessed or happy lifestyle. And so happiness is an outcome of a lifestyle of generosity. Jesus is really saying, happy is the person whose life is ordered around giving rather than around receiving. Happy is the person whose life, not a moment in time, not a transaction or a spontaneous gift. Happy is the man or woman or teenager whose entire life is ordered around giving rather than receiving. Now, we're going to talk more next week about what does that really look like. And you know, today we're just like laying the groundwork. And I already know that some of you are saying, well, you know, I just remembered I'm going to be busy next week. But don't worry, you don't have to stress out about this because I'm not trying to get something from you. We're not leading up to a big push for money or any kind of commitment at all. There's not going to be a pledge campaign at the end of this. Don't worry about it. I simply want to teach you how to be something, and that is how to be a generous person, live a generous lifestyle. Because honestly, there's many of us here who have never been taught by anybody how to be generous. And it's possible you could go through the rest of your life and never have anybody teach you how to be generous. Now, I absolutely guarantee you that for the rest of your life, you will have people trying to teach you how and trying to persuade you that you ought to give more. And they'll try to inspire you to give, and they'll try to guilt you into giving and motivate you to give. You can count on that. It's going to happen. But this may be your one opportunity to learn from somebody not how to give, but how to be generous. Now, we're going to do one more thing today. I just want you to use your imagination for a minute. And I want you to imagine that suddenly, mystically, magically, providentially, somehow, you had a checking account that is full of all the money you wasted in the last 10 years. Might be a lot of money, huh? And you can define what wasted means to you. I'm not going to try to define it for you. But, you know, maybe it means that you should have kept that car longer. Or maybe it means you really didn't need a new couch. Or you didn't need all those shoes. Or maybe it was that gym membership that you never used. Or you know, I remember one time I was young. I was in the Navy. And I bought a ski boat. And I instantly learned what the definition of a boat is. It's a hole in the water into which you pour money. I wasted so much money on that ski boat. You know, I hate to even think about it. Or for you, it could be a gambling thing, or maybe all the lottery tickets never paid off. Or, you know, and you start to add up all these regretful purchases and dumb investments, and you go, wow, if I just had a dime back for every dollar that I wasted, you know, I would be rich. I just want you to imagine that you've got this checking account that's full of all this money that you wasted. But you can't spend the money from that checking account on yourself. You have to give it away. And you have to give it away in the next year, the next 12 months. For some of you, it would be hundreds of dollars. For most of us, it would be more like thousands or even tens of thousands of dollars. And so just imagine for a second, you got this checking account. You can't spend it on yourself. You have to give it away wherever you want over the next year. Now, first of all, wouldn't that be fun? You know, somebody comes along and they're, you know, they're doing their bike ride for cancer or something, and you know, oh, here's $200, no problem. Or somebody needs to go on a mission trip to Pine Ridge, and you say, oh boy, you know, you need $500 to go. Here it is, you're paid for it. You know, it would be so fun, and people would, you know, see you right in the chest, and they say, wow, are you rich? And you say, no, I'm not rich, you know, but I can't spend this money on myself, but I get to give it away to wherever I want it. And, you know, the truth is I am enjoying it so much being able to do this. I love the fact that I get to be generous. It would be great. Imagine what that would feel like. And you know what? You wouldn't be possessive about it because you can't spend it on you anyway, right? And you wouldn't be regretful because you're giving it to places where it's going a long way. It's doing good things. It's blessing people. There's great things happening. Imagine how that would feel. You would experience the joy of living a generous life. So here's my question. Why not just do that going forward? Because we're going to learn how, and you can do this. I mean, you've already wasted thousands over the last 10 years, and you'd love to have it back, and you'd love to have it back even if you couldn't spend it on yourself, even if you had to give it away somewhere else. So why not just learn to be generous and don't waste another 10 years? Why not just learn to be generous, and you'll save more, you'll spend less, and according to what Jesus said, you'll be happier. A few of you remember back to the year 2000 when our church had a food pantry that was huge. It was overwhelming our building at the time. And so we started looking around for another building that we could move the pantry into. And we were thinking maybe we'd have to rent a place because, you know, we didn't have any money. But then a guy from our church came to me and he said, "Ken, you know, I think this is so important." He said, "I'm going to give you the whole down payment to buy a building." And I don't remember the amount it ended up being. It was like $20,000 or something. But we bought a warehouse on East Avenue, and we started the ministry called Serve City, which now has not just a food pantry, but it's got a 50-bed homeless shelter. It's got two transitional living apartment complexes. I mean, it's grown far beyond what we ever imagined. And I know this guy who allowed this to happen financially for us would say it is one of the best investments he has ever made in his life. You know, here it is 17 years later and still helping hundreds of people every month. And he didn't give because he was rich, because he's no richer than many of us here, but he gave it because he was generous. And when you're generous, you save your money, you're wise with your money, so that you have money available to be generous. And in fact, if you have a hard time saving, I know this is, you know, it doesn't make any sense. I'll explain it more next week. But if you have a hard time saving, then you need to learn to be generous. Because being generous will affect all of your finances. We're going to close in a minute, so I'd like the worship band to come back up. But you know, a lot of us are crazy in our spending habits. We spend more than we make. We load up the credit cards. We get ourselves in debt. And that is just crazy. But you know what Jesus says? He says not to be generous is crazy. Jesus says to live any other way, those are the crazy people. Those are the people without a clue. Those are the people who are living in la-la land. The people who haven't learned to be generous. They're the crazy ones. But those people who have learned to be generous, those men and women and children and teens and singles and rich and poor and middle, and the ones who learn to live a generous life, they're not the crazy people. They're the happy people. They're the blessed people. That's what Jesus says. And we're going to learn why and how next week. Let's stand for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the way you have blessed our lives. Lord, we want to be faithful with what you've given us. And Lord, we want to be happy too. We want to be happy in the way that Jesus told us to. And so, would you teach us how to be generous? And this morning, if you're not sure of your relationship with Jesus Christ, you can be sure this morning. You can make a simple commitment in prayer that will make all the difference in your life. So if you're not sure, why don't you just pray along with me right now? Jesus, I want to thank you for coming to this world as God's Son and dying on the cross for me to pay for all my sins, but not staying dead, but rising to new life so that I can have new life in you. I want to thank you for doing that. And right now, I want to make you my Lord and my Savior. I receive your gift of forgiveness. And I ask you to come into my life. Would you put your Holy Spirit into me so that I can be changed, be a new person? And I thank you for giving me new life. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.